a million times, and you can emblazon it. It's hardworking patriots like you who are going to save our country. You're going to save our country. We're going to get out and vote like never before. We're going to make it too big to rig. Our vote is going to be too big to rig. The one thing that can't happen is working together. There is nothing we cannot do and no height we cannot achieve. Together we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. We will make America great again. Thank you, Bronx. Thank you, New York. We love you. Thank you. God bless everybody. God bless you. God bless you.
Everyone, I want to welcome Chef at Crown Meat, the Crown Meat Hosted in the Bronx. Great chilling out there, great meat. I would just say, while he wants to make America safe again and make America great again, I pray that we make America turn to God again.
Amen, because that will bring all of those things. And that's the whole key. We want America to be saved. It can't be saved by Trump, although Trump could be an instrument of God. And that's what we know. But guess what, Roxanne? You and I, and the people that listen to us, the people that hear Trump, or the people that just go out and vote, they can also be instruments of God. And that is the whole point. We are to be his hands and feet. That's what the scripture tells us. So we don't need to sit back and say, oh yeah, maybe Trump will save America. It's, will we trust God and work toward a change in our nation to come back to the Lord, to come back to biblical principles, to stand up and say, we want to be a godly nation and we'll be great. We'll be wealthy, we'll be safe, we'll be protected. And one of the other keys is we have to protect the nation of Israel. I'm sorry, if you feel like what they're doing is wrong, then you're very poorly informed. And that is another problem that we talk about, lies in the textbook. Our next series should be lies in the media. Because they don't want to tell you what's truly going on in the Middle East. What do you think about that, Roxanne?
Absolutely. Because we all know scripture says that God will bless those who bless Israel and God will curse those who curse Israel. And I'm sorry, we've already got one foot in the grave since we've taken God out of this country.
Boy, boy, you are right.
And now we'll see when we turn our back on Israel.
You are absolutely right. And I'm hoping that we have someone that's going to call in and kind of test this theory that we have, that we can actually do two things at once. So if someone wants to call in.
Oh, yeah, he says he can.
Awesome. I'm excited because this is a new experience for us. And we are trying to make the best of all the avenues we have to reach others. With the truth. The whole point is, you know what? You don't need to believe the truth. God does not insist that you believe the truth. He allows people, I always like to say it this way, God allows people to be wrong. He gives them the right to be wrong. How about that? God gave free will. And when we look at that avenue of free will, there are choices that we make that can bring blessing or cursing. And one of the choices is, are we going to raise our children to know the Lord? One of the other choices is, are we going to support the nation of Israel? Another choice is, are we going to stand up for what are godly principles when our nation is passing laws that are completely unconstitutional? I mean, a lot of people may not believe this, but I believe that God gave us our Constitution, that our founding fathers were uniquely given insight and understanding by God so this nation could be raised up. You know why? Because God has a purpose for our nation. We didn't just happen. We are the only nation literally came about with the concept of no king, but that the people themselves would be the ones to place the leadership in power, and that they also had option to revoke the power of leadership by elections. Now, there were elections in Rome. It's true. There were elections in Greece. That's also true. But those countries were not founded on that. They didn't. That was something that came to pass, and unfortunately, corruption came in. This is what we need to recognize. Just because we are a constitutional republic does not mean corruption can't come in. It comes in. But the point of keeping our nation is this country could only maintain its freedom by being a godly nation. Our founding fathers knew that.
A godly, moral, educated people. And unfortunately, we're a far cry from that right now. And, you know, Thomas Jefferson, he came out, you know, they famously asked, you know, what kind of government have you given us? And he said, we've given you a republic, democratic republic, if you can keep it.
Right.
And the only way that we can keep it is if the people stay in power, the people stay informed, the people get involved. And
yes,
the people don't lose that moral compass. That moral compass that only comes from God.
Absolutely. You know, Roxanne, it's amazing to me that one of the things that's happened to us is we do not have an informed electorate. We have people who get information from the media, and you know, that used to be okay when there was some integrity involved in what the media was reporting. But what we've seen more of recently is that the media itself has become a tool of propaganda more than anything. And that propaganda that we're getting is leading us away from God. It's leading us away from freedom. But you know, more and more, I want to say it's leading us away from sanity. You know, when we have a federal judge who cannot tell you the definition of a woman, what does that tell you? I mean, the average person with common sense knows that if a judge doesn't know the difference or can't define what is a woman and define what is a man, wouldn't that kind of tell you you don't want them deciding your case? If they can't figure that out, why on earth would you want them to take on the burden of deciding a legal issue that might be affecting you?
Yes, and, you know, I think we all know she could define what a woman is. She just can't do it without offending.
Oh, I see.
But there you go. You know, if you can't speak an immutable truth, then can you judge a people?
That's the whole point, Roxanne, and I could not agree with your analysis more, because that is the issue. How is it that you're going to judge anything if you are beholding to other people's emotional or personal or political, especially, reaction to what you do? You know, the Bible talks about this, which it's so disturbing to me. And when I was writing my book and I included this part of it, I think you can correct me because you've read it more recently, and I wrote it how many years ago? Well, 20 years ago. And actually I was working on it before that, but I don't want to get into that, Roxanne, because then people be asking me, how old were you on your last birthday? Anyway, but when I was writing it, and I read this passage, and it said, and the judge will ask for a bribe, and they'll wrap it up. And I went, oh my gosh, what a horrible state for a nation to be in, that you could bribe a judge. And I thought, wow, if we're not in that place in America, then I hate to see what's coming in the future. We're already there. This is already the most corrupt judicial system that I think we ever could have imagined. Roxanne, did you ever imagine that the things that are happening in our country would be going on with these indictments against Donald Trump, this trials against him for things that aren't even crimes? I mean, this is
crazy. I could never have imagined that we as a people would allow this to happen, but yet it is. And in the same breath, we have a president who, when he was not president, did exactly the same thing that President Trump is being accused of. And they say, well, he did wrong, speaking of the B word, he did wrong, but he's too old and forgetful to prosecute. They admit he did something wrong, but he's too old and forgetful to prosecute. Well, he's not too old and forgetful to run a doggone country.
It is
not to prosecute.
It's so ironic that this word about a feeble old man who is very forgetful, who could not stand up to a prosecution, that this came out from their own investigation.
Yes, and who is approximately this Donald Trump,
yeah.
Who
you know,
is right now in the court defending something he had every legal right to do.
In the long run, there are two major differences. One is that Vice President Joe Biden had no business taking documents, because a president has the power to make something, to unclassify it so that it is okay for it to be seen and for him to possess. And a vice president never had that power. So it was criminal from the beginning. And I don't know this for a fact, but it has been suggested that the documents that O. Biden had predated his even being a vice president, that he had these things from the time he was in the Senate. And, you know, honestly, maybe there's a point there about being prosecuted, because he may think that he had that right. Who knows what he thought? Because we know that his memory is extremely flexible. And, you know, Donald Trump makes this analysis and comparison and says, yeah, you know, he goes to a convention where there are people who are race car drivers and said, oh, yeah, I drove a race car before. And then he goes to a place where they build boats and sell lunch. And he says, oh, yeah, I built a boat before. He says he does everything. Actually remember, oh wait a minute, yes he does, he remembers that he had a conflict at a swimming pool with a guy who was a gang member. His name was Corn Pop, and he was a bad dude. I believe that happened, and I'm sorry, but we were laughing so hard because my daughter, was it you that told me this, or my daughter Vicky, at the presidential, they have a thing at Disney World where they have all the presidents, and you see them standing there, and they're actually giving speeches that they were well known for. So you have John Kennedy there, you have Teddy Roosevelt, you have people and their famous speeches, and so they were saying that they needed to have one of Joe Biden where he says, and Corn Pop was a bad dude. I'm sorry, but it's hilarious. It's horrible, though, but it is hilarious, because I'm telling you, if we didn't have these things to laugh about, and I think the only reason we laugh that we will be crying. The only reason that we can laugh, and let's say, is because if you know the truth will set you free. That's the word of God. And I think the truth is being revealed. Now, what and how we deal with that, those are our choices. It is that God gives us choices. And I take it very seriously that we have been led down a path, that we've been deceived, that we have had a government being infiltrated by evil people who are there for their own interests and their corrupt plans. But here's the reason that we can laugh, you know. The Bible says that God laughs at those who think they're going to defeat him. If we'll stay on the side of the Lord, then you know what? We in the end will be with the Lord, and we'll be able to laugh at some of the foolishness, not because we want to see anybody deceived, but because the truth is in front of us. The truth is in front of us, and people will choose to believe a lie. That is the problem. That is the choice, because God will never want anyone to be deceived. But I've watched people who choose to be deceived. I cannot understand. Why would you choose that?
Well, I have a prime example. If y'all have not been able to watch it yet, Megyn Kelly interviewed Bill Maher. And you have got to watch this. He essentially tries to double down on his version, the Democrat version of truth, and against what, quote, you know, Republicans think. But when she calls him out on stuff, I mean, he ends up saying, well, I guess you know more about it than I hadn't heard of that.
Yeah,
and
I saw that.
Talking about basically, the big ones that you saw, was about Hillary Clinton being an election denier. And he's like, no, she never said that. Tell me her exact words.
Well, he asked for it, and he got it. Hallelujah. Yep.
You know, kudos to him, because he admitted, instead of, you know, tripling down on what he tried to double down on, at least he admitted, okay, well, maybe you know more about this than I do. But that goes to show in the deception of the media, because so many people... And you can say it about Republicans, too. You can say it about, like, doing Republican and Democrat. I'd rather say liberal and conservative.
I'd rather say sane people and insane people. Sorry.
Or uniparty.
Okay.
liberals who are out saying all of this stuff, they only listen to CNN. They only listen to NBC. They only listen, and they're only in that bubble.
Yeah.
Everybody's saying what you want to hear, and they're not getting the truth. But now, I will say, conservatives can have the same problem. They stick to just listening to what they want to hear. They want to hear all the conservative talking points. They don't want to step over to the opposition or whatever and hear what they're saying. But I'm telling you, you have got to pay attention. You listen to your conservative news outlets, you're probably going to get more truth, but might not be getting the whole truth.
Yeah.
You need to step out and hear everything and get it from a 360 view, and then make your own decisions. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't just take our word for what we're talking about. Research it yourself, but be careful of your sources.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that we all can say is there is only one who is all wise. And that's God. So if you aren't God or don't think you're God, then you don't have all wisdom. And I'll be honest with you, and I've said this in the past, which some people, I mean, I'm a Christian believer, and I have Jewish believers in my family. But as a Christian, you know, I have to say that I don't know everything. I want to know more, but here's the deal. I'm not God, and he has not given me all wisdom and all understanding. You see, when you have someone who cannot learn, if you can't learn from someone else, there is something definitely blocking your mind. And the Lord says that he will seal his servants in their forehead. I've taken to understand that when we read about deception in the end times, it is powerful. It says the deception would be so powerful if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. But that also comes back to say it's not possible for them to be deceived. But why? They're so smart? No, because God has sealed you to understand things. If you want the wisdom of God, you will never get all of God's wisdom, but you will get wisdom from God's word. You will get wisdom from other people who are loving and serving the Lord. And I can give you a prime example. I wrote a book, and of course, many of you already know that I work with USAMA DACDA in media, radio, and video, and whatever else we're doing right now. But when I met USAMA, the reason that I met him is because I wrote a book, and in that book, which was about end times in America, I was making some very drastic comments about the nature of Islam and how it fit into the end times. So when I was saying these things, I felt very strongly in my heart by the Holy Spirit and by my study of the Word of God that what I was saying was true. But then I went, man, what do I know about this topic? I began to feel that I knew not enough to make the statements I was making. So I started praying. And before the book actually came out and was published, I went to my pastor who had read my manuscript. I said, you know, I'm very nervous about saying these things about something I don't actually know about. You see what I'm saying? You don't know everything. And so I said, I've been praying and praying. And he said, well, I think you have to put in the book what you believe God told you. And I said, okay, but I am very nervous about the things I'm saying related to Islam. So I started praying even more. And God spoke to me and said, I will send you someone that will teach you all about, all you need to know about Islam. Well, at first I thought, oh, I'm going to go talk to an imam or something. And the Holy Spirit just threw up a no, don't do that. I will send you someone. So I waited. And you know what I actually said? In my heart, I said, Lord, do you have any idea where I live? How in the world are you sending somebody who knows about Islam to me? I mean, I'm living in a very small community. There's not any Muslims that I know about in this area. How's that going to happen? But you know, sometimes God tells you something. You just have to stand in faith and wait. Well, after about a year, I think it was over a year, just a little over a year after my book came out. And all of a sudden, a friend of mine calls who'd read my book and said, hey, I'm sending somebody up there to the radio station where I worked at the time. Well, I didn't work. Let me put it this way. Some people think when you work, you get paid. But most of the time, I work for free, which is why my business just grows and grows. I taught that. If you want your business to grow, do everything for free, and you'll have so much work, you will never be able to worry about your business continuing and growing. So anyway, that's my job. But I was on the radio station, and he said, I'm sending somebody up there to meet you. I said, oh, okay, great. Yeah, you need to interview this guy or talk to this guy. And I said, all right. And he came with his wife and his son. And the minute that I shook his hand, I went, oh, my God. The Lord spoke to me and said, this is the man I said I would send. So, you see, I had to realize if I hadn't known, okay, I don't know everything that I need to know and been trained, then how would I have received that meeting with USAMA DACDA? Maybe I would have said, oh, yeah, well, this guy thinks he knows something. I'll listen. No, I knew I needed to know about this because I had already made statements about Islam, and I wanted to be sure I was hearing correctly from God. And my association goes back 20 years now with USAMA, and I have still learning things about Islam, but what I started with was zero knowledge, zero information. You can read in the Bible. You're not going to, you know, read about Muhammad and what he did. But I now know that it was very, very important for me to know about Islam, because what God had told me about it when I wrote in my book, that this was a very, very serious problem. And I believed it was marking the end time, another opening, unfolding of the end times in the world, that Islam represented another part of that fulfillment of God's prophecy. So, yeah, I needed to know about it. And once I knew about it, I wanted to share what I knew with others. Roxanne, that's how I got started, not in radio, because I was doing Christian radio before that. It's how I got started in the ministry with Usama Dacta, in case somebody didn't know that.
And it's only grown since, and I'm so grateful that I got brought into the loop, you know, through you meeting Usama and his family, because it's a real eye-opener. I was privy to a lot of, well, I did do some studying on Islam before I had met you, but nothing compared to what I have learned since being in association with Usama. Having someone who can read the original text makes a big difference. You know, you're getting it essentially from the horse's mouth, and you're not getting some kind of sugar-coated, oh, we don't want the West to know this or that. You get the truth, and the truth is scary. But as you said, the truth will set you free, let me tell you. And if we just point to people and help them to understand the severity. I actually watched a small video on memory today.
Oh, yeah.
An Egyptian person was on there, did a big old speech, and you probably have seen this already, about how they need to teach their children to hate Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To hate them. They need to get rid of them. They are horrid. This is what you have to teach your family. This is what you have to teach the children.
My response to that is interesting, because I haven't seen that yet. I've been very busy. Usama does a lot of ministry in a practical sense as a Christian. And so we've been working to help a project that's going to help people who are in recovery from addiction. And so we were very busy with that today. So I didn't see this video. But our conversation that we have had, and we'll probably cover more of this on Saturday night, is that Egypt is actually not involving themselves against Israel. Do you know that this is the first time that Israel has not had Egypt to contend with? Because originally Egypt was leading these attacks against Israel in the years past, 1948, 1967, and 1973. It was a part of this conglomerate of Muslim nations that were trying to destroy the nation of Israel. So it's interesting, and we just had this amazing conversation about this, that we have a chance now to see Bible prophecy being fulfilled, because Egypt isn't standing against Israel, but actually is being kind of like trying to be a negotiator. And Saudi Arabia is not coming against Israel right now. So Bible prophecy that never could have been thought to be fulfilled in the past is happening. And I would guess that's the response that this imam has, is that you Egyptians are not hating Israel enough. You used to hate Israel. You need to hate Israel again. And I tell you, the brainwashing that's gone on, and this is before we knew about lies in the textbooks. We were watching Usama and I and you know, other people who were paying attention to the impact of Islam on the world. We were watching these videos of the classrooms in the Palestinian schools where these children were being taught to hate Jews and to desire to kill them. We're talking 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old children. We're not talking young men into the military saying, oh yeah, go kill the Israelis. No, these are young children and they're brainwashed through cartoons, through play acting. They get rewarded for saying things like, I want to be a martyr, which is often the mantra that they try to teach these children, or I want to go and kill a Jewish person. They're told that Jews are monkeys and pigs. And I mean, it's just incredible how the power of those words and that impact on young children. Now that's a generation that is now the ones right. who are old enough to do this attack like on October the 7th. And we should never have been surprised that this happened. Not if we were keeping our minds and our eyes open to watch the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Well, how does that fulfill Bible prophecy? The Bible says that in the end, all these nations are going to turn against Israel and she'll be standing by herself, except for God. But the nations that turn against her are going to be severely judged. And that's why I talk about end times in America. And there's two things that are keeping America from being destroyed. Number one is we were the primary source of the ministry of the gospel to the world. We were, no longer. Secondly, we were that established moral on the basis of the Bible. So we've turned our back on the Lord. So ultimately, we've turned our back on the Lord. We've turned our back on the gospel. The other thing keeping us from judgment is that we were supporters of Israel. That's why I called the title of my book, Mystery Babylon, the Great Defender of Israel, because I said, if we turn our back on Israel, as we've gone such corruption, moral depravity, and such a departure from the Lord in this country, we turn our back on Israel, we're done. Because that is the only reason God would have to preserve us. When I was a supporter of Donald Trump, okay, and I came out strongly in support of him before he even announced officially, and we were hearing rumors that he would, I really knew, I just felt, this is the man God has picked. I had a lot of Christian friends who said, no, you know, he's this, he's that, he's a... I don't know what, you know, adulterer, whoremonger. I don't know what all they said. They said he's a really corrupt, sinful person. We need a good, godly Christian. I knew immediately that was wrong. Not wrong that Trump wasn't a sinner. But guess what? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I hate to say it, but if you think you're sitting in judgment of Donald Trump for his sins, God help you. Because the whole thing can be flipped, and God knows your heart. He knows your life. He knows your sin, just like he knows Trump's. At least Trump's was out there already. It wasn't like he was lying about it or hiding it. Everybody knew. But God chose this man. When he won the election, I was so surprised because I was thinking, man, my Christian friends wouldn't vote for him. And I campaigned in my own little way to get people to support him. I said, you are not going to be able to put a Christian up there that's going to get elected. And you know why? Because the Christians are too divided. You get a president that's running primarily on his Christian beliefs, and trust me, he's going to say something that some denomination is not going to agree with. Like maybe he would say, well, here's how I believe you need to be baptized. Let's say he said he believed in baptism by immersion. All the Christians who don't believe in that would turn against him. What if he said, I believe that we should sing in church our praises to God, and we should have music, and we should have everything, just worshiping God. There's a congregation that would say, oh, we don't believe in playing instruments in our church. they wouldn't vote for him. I knew. I said, there is no way a Christian is going to win an election here. Because, see, half of the Christians that do vote are divided on what they think Christians are. And half of Christians that aren't in that category, they don't vote. It's just drives me crazy because they want to keep religion and politics separate. Do you know that is a media lie? That is a lie you learn from the media. God never intended for us to separate any part of our life from the faith that we have in Christ. It's all supposed to be together. So separation of church and state, media lie, textbook lie. Yeah, textbook lie too. But the bottom line is that people are too divided over things that don't matter. They never come together to support the country. Honestly, they won't. And I hate to say that because I love my Christian brothers and sisters, but on many things, as I started out, deception. They've been deceived. They've been lied to. Lies in the textbooks, lies in the media. Honestly, it's incredible. So we sit here and go, okay, so what are we left with? When I saw Donald Trump, I went, you know what? I think this man can win. And his boldness. You know, I like people that tell you what they really think. Who wants to listen to somebody who says everything they think you want to hear? Because they're trying to get your confidence and they want your vote. Trump said stuff that was so outrageous. People don't like it at all. I loved it. I went, man, this man is honest. He's going to be honest and
bold.
People
loved him because he was the every man. He said what every man was thinking.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I just lost my train of thought.
Let me get back on my train. Well, here was the bottom line. I tried to convince some of my Christian friends that they really needed to vote for him, and some of them did not want to vote for Hillary Clinton in 2016, and they said, well, I'm just not going to vote. I was praying and praying and praying. Trump won. It was obvious he won, and he won by a big amount, and I'm just saying, Lord, I don't understand how this happened, because I thought for Trump to win, the whole country needed to repent, you know, that our churches needed to get involved. They needed to come out and vote for him, and I didn't think they did. So I was saying, how in the world did he win, Lord? I didn't think America was coming back to that kind of faith that I thought it was going to take. That's why the Lord can always surprise you. But guess what happened, Roxanne? The Lord spoke to me and said, I didn't do this for America's sake. I didn't do it because America deserved him. I did it for Israel's sake. I mean, I have no reason to mislead you. God spoke that to me. When I saw what he did to bring peace to the Middle East, to get rid of ISIS, to bring the Abraham Accord together, to bring peace there, to establish our embassy in Jerusalem, and the Israelis were so excited about it. Do you realize they made a coin in honor of Donald Trump?
Yeah.
And they called him the second Cyrus. And I went, thank you, Lord. You told me this ahead of time, that he was coming up there for the sake of Israel. Now, America, we need to get back on track here, because we need, in my opinion, Donald Trump to be president for the sake of saving America now, because he was brought up because Israel needed to have that support. And now, if America's going to turn her back on Israel, it's going to be over. If we don't have Donald Trump in office and we get some other person from the demon word party, they're not going to support Israel. They're supplying weapons to Israel's enemies. For this, we will be cursed. That's what the Bible tells us. Those who bless you, I'll bless. Those who curse you, I'll curse. And you do not want to be under God's curse. No, we may not have come back to a strong moral character for the whole country, but I do see people are crying out against the sin and degradation of our moral society. I see it because people are recognizing it. Many people see it. And remember that in the days of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, the prayer was, would you save a city if there were 50 moral people left? And God said, yeah, he would. Let us look for those 5R wise. Let's look for those who want to know the truth, who aren't afraid to know what God's word says about the nature of sin, the nature of the destruction and decline of faith in our country, that we're teaching children that they don't even know if they're boys or girls. You don't know if you're a boy or a girl. Let me talk to you about that. Is this the most insane thing you ever heard? It is slap in the face of God. I'm sorry. God knows if they're boys or girls. Do you want to destroy their relationship with God by telling them these kind of lies? Yes. That's what it does. It destroys their faith in God, and that's what it's all about. That's the devil's plan.
Well, and the parents have just rose up in Maryland suing the school district to be able to opt out of their reading curriculum, which includes so many alphabet soup books and that are geared to ages 4 to 8. And I'm sorry, I don't care if it's sexual, homosexual, trisexual. No sexual books or content needs to be taught to 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds. That's just the basic. To me, that's just common sense, but we know how common that is now. But so the parents sued, and the district attorney, well, the district judge said, no, well, I don't see why this would be harmful to your kids. You can't opt out. So they moved it up to, I believe, the circuit court. It was a 3-judge panel, and two of the 3 judges said, no, we don't see that there's any issue with you cannot opt your child out of this. So if you don't want your kindergartner to be learning about sex, whether regardless of what it entails.
Because it includes all kinds of weird stuff that no child needs to be exposed to.
No child needs to know about any of it at 5 years old.
You know, I have to tell you, Roxanne, I'm old enough to remember when the controversy was coming up whether or not they should even allow sex education in the school at all. That was supposed to be the parents' private and personal responsibility with their children. It was not ever to be in the public school. And there was a big stink about it because they said, well, there's some children that don't know about this and we need to protect children. Really? You know, I don't doubt that there were parents who maybe felt like, well, this might be helpful because this is a difficult thing. I'm not sure how to approach it. But I'm sorry, the Bible never kind of instruction to public officials.
Exactly.
And that's what your school is now. Why in the world is there a federal Department of Education? I'll tell you why. Because our country is corrupt. That should never be going on.
Your public school system is an indoctrination camp for
the
children.
Yeah, back in the day, there was a parent-teacher association, and sometimes parents didn't want to go because, man, they're tired and they got to go to a meeting in the evening, and the teachers didn't want to go either because they got to go in the evening. Parent-teacher association, they were involved. Now I'm telling you, they don't even want the parents there. Now it's the National Teachers Association. Where in the world do the parents get to do their input? Oh, well, you know what? It's convenient for parents because they don't have time anyway, because now our tax situation is so bad that both parents have to work in order to manage to pay the bills for raising a family. That, again, is a tool of Satan because it was never intended that you have two working parents, and who in the world is raising your children? Oh, I'm sorry. We have daycare now. We have daycare? Do we have daycare? Has anybody seen any horrendous videos of what happens to children in daycare? They're not their parents. My goodness, moms, dads, you are the one God put this burden on, and you need to take it seriously because that is where the problem starts. Parents are made to believe that know enough about children to raise their own child, to educate their child about whether it's sex education, when and how they choose that. They don't know how to educate their children about America's pride in its history, its accomplishments, why we are blessed by God, why we are a constitutional republic, why we believe that the foundation of our freedom is in biblical Judeo-Christian principles. If you don't think you can educate your child about that, you probably didn't get educated about it. But God is still holding you accountable, because I'm telling you what, that Bible's still available. The Constitution is still available. I really liked it when, I think it was Lee Greenwood came out with a Bible that had the Constitution. Some of them have done that now, and Declaration of Independence in the Bible itself. I think that would be a great tool. If you need to teach your kids things, this isn't being taught in school anymore. Your child is being taught rainbow lollipops, and you don't have an idea if you're a boy or a girl. And one day you might go to school as a boy, but you know the next day you may feel like going like a girl. How insane is this, America? You are a Christian parent. Can you not recognize this is somebody's lost their mind? No, they haven't lost their mind. Satan knows exactly what he's doing. It's like these kids that are protesting for Hamas against Israel. And many of them are carrying the rainbow flag, and they're touting their pride. We're going to have Pride Month next month. Roxanne, I can't stomach or imagine we're going to see for Pride Month in our public schools. We've had, we better have a celebration early because the kids are out of school in June. I mean, give me a break. But we're going to have that. And how on earth is it that we have a month about pride? Pride in our depravity? This is nothing to be proud of. America needs to. Yusama and I were talking, and I think American Christians surrender the rainbow to this movement, and they never should have done it. The rainbow was a promise of God after he had destroyed the entire world because of their sin. Yeah. And because he saved the world from that and put that rainbow flag out there, no, it was a real rainbow, my friends. It was not a rainbow flag. It was a real rainbow, and it was God's promise that he would never destroy the world again in a flood. I'm sorry, he won't destroy it in a flood. He's destroyed parts of our country in floods.
Well, on that co-op, the rainbow, it comes from one of two things. Either they have no idea what the rainbow stands for, or they're making a mockery of it.
Well, you know, I agree with you. But the fact is, who is teaching our kids what the rainbow really is? And someone said, you know what, when I first went into business, I had a rainbow on my business card.
Yeah.
And many people told me, oh, you got to take that off there because they're going to think you're a gay business or something. And he's going, well, I didn't want to take it off because it's ours. The rainbow belongs to the people who believe and love the Lord and the Word of God. And I do believe Christians surrendered way, way too often. We talked about that last week when we were discussing how Christians gave up on prayer in school because one atheist woman was so determined to get prayer out of school. And they just rolled up and took their toys and went home and said, well, we'll just pray at home.
Christians didn't want to offend anybody.
Well, they didn't want to offend
religion. We don't force you to be Christian. We pray that you will become Christian because we don't want to see you burn in hell. We want you to be saved. We want to rejoice in that, but we're not going to force you to do it.
And here's the thing that is so commonly misunderstood, I think, Roxanne. There are many, many people who think that being a Christian is you go around and tell everyone else how unholy and how ungodly they are, and that you are judgmental and critical, and you're telling them that they're a sinner. I'm sorry, that isn't the message of Christianity. The message of Christianity is You are a sinner. I am a sinner. All are sinners. And there is no hope for you not to be condemned for your sin without the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only hope that anyone has, is to be saved through his blood. He was perfect. He kept the law. He never sinned. He was pure. And you know, that wasn't just a thing that popped up with Jesus during his lifetime. This was a principle that God had established throughout the beginning and through the end of the Bible itself, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That has not changed. That never changed. But we could not see a redemption with the guarantee of total and complete forgiveness and a home in heaven and redemption of our soul in spite of our sin if Christ had not come to die for us. That is the message of Christianity. It is not the message of, oh, well, let me tell you about all your sins. Let me tell you about how you're not a good enough person to go to heaven. You're not a good enough person to go to heaven. I'm not a good enough person to go to heaven. You know what? Nobody is a good enough person to go to heaven.
That's the disservice that so many churches, they have done. They have, you have one sect that all they do is preach fire and brimstone. You're going to hell if you don't change your ways. And make it that we're holier than thou, and that they don't notice the log in their eye or the splinter in their brother's eye. But then you have another group of people who, we're all good. We're all inherently good.
Yeah. Big mistake.
No, we are not. We're all inherently evil. We're all bad.
If any of you have ever had a child who's 3 years old, you learn that human beings are sinners. I'm sorry. Your kid is a sinner. And not while they're in the womb. They haven't had a chance to sin. They are not able to make choices. That is why the murder of babies in the womb before they even have a chance to have a life is so horrible, because God hates this, the shedding of innocent blood. Trust me, the innocent blood of Christ is not the only innocent blood he's talking about. It's the innocent blood of children who are young enough in the womb, are young enough after birth that they're going to be murdered. And little children get murdered a lot. In sacrifices, the Bible talks about it. God hates this. Another condemnation on our country, unfortunately. But they're the only innocents. You're not innocent just because you're not in a war or something. Now, yes, say the word innocent people. Yes, we're talking about someone who did not deserve to be murdered or killed, or their life taken early. But when we're seriously talking about innocent blood, you're really only talking about Christ and children. That's why he said, blessed are the children, you know, such of the kingdom of heaven. He's saying these are not caught up in sin. And you know what is so sick is that they're taking children in these Muslim countries, exposing them to the type of propaganda that is infiltrating into their innocent minds to teach them to be murderers, to teach them to be liars, to teach them to be bloodthirsty. You know, bloodthirsty. They want to see people murdered and killed just because they're Christians or Jews. They say this, they try to teach their children that. But I will tell you, there are Muslims who have come to Christ, and they are so dedicated to reaching other Muslims. Usama Daqdaq was never a Muslim. He never pretends that that was his background. But he had a unique background, being raised as a Christian in a Muslim country where he experienced living in dimitude, which means you're a second-class citizen because you're a Christian in a Muslim country. But things that God taught him through that experience have helped him to understand how to reach Muslims, and his part is to reach Muslim people. But
having to learn the Quran.
Oh, well, he had to learn it as a child in school. And he used to find it very weird. He hated it because he'd go, man, the school and all day long we'd be learning about Islam. And I go home and I live in a Christian home. And it's like, wow, why do I have to learn this stuff? But of course, God had a purpose in it when he got older. But I also wanted to say about the shedding of blood, the innocent blood. The fact that Christ died for us and shed his innocent blood. Do you think that if you can be good enough to go to heaven, why would Jesus have died? You don't know what he suffered. And if you haven't seen the Passion of the Christ, I suggest you go and see it. Now, it isn't even as bad as it really was. But it should break your heart. That film and that movie that came out, I tell you, people came under attack for making that film, spiritually under attack, because they did not want the Hollywood and them not want this film. It's just like anything else that comes out and promotes the truth and lifts up the name of the Lord God and the God of Israel. Hey, I'm sorry, Christian. The God of Israel is your God. That is your God. Jesus was a Jew in our textbooks. In America, they're teaching our children that Jesus was a Palestinian. There is no chance. That is not the situation. But it's another lie in the textbooks. Jesus was not a Palestinian boy, as one of the textbooks. And we give documentation for the pages on which these lies were published. Go get the books. I actually have photographs of many of the pages of the books because we were like stunned. Yeah, they're on our slideshow for the radio show, some of them. But I mean, I have pages and posters. But what we have started in 2003, it has expanded into the elementary school, into the colleges. And I see the same brainwashing that in these Muslim countries, particularly in the in Gaza, the TV stations, the cartoons, the school having these little puppet shows. Oh my gosh, there's famous puppet shows that are all about teaching children to murder. And that is the same type of brainwashing that our kids are getting. But in the Western countries, they do it in a more intellectual and more pleasant way. They tell you that Jesus is Palestinian. They tell you that the Israelis displaced the Palestinian people, that they fought against them and they tried to destroy them, which none of that is true. Do you know who feeds, houses, clothes the Palestinians? Two countries. Which two, Roxy, do you know?
The United States of America.
That's it.
Because let me tell you, Hamas, every time they built, they just spent $350 million building a floating pier for us to drop off aid to the things because Hamas would come and steal it for themselves. Well, guess what's happening now? It's getting on. The trucks are being intercepted by Hamas. None of the aid that's coming in from these ships is getting to the Gazan people. Not one bit of it is going to Hamas to support their troops.
Well, you know, and isn't just that it's feeding people. There is a whole criminal enterprise going on about how they're getting financial means to have the weapons that they have. For example, we know these other Muslim countries have been providing financial support to make sure they're equipped with rockets. weapons and missiles that they're using against Israel right now. We're even hearing about it in the news. Hezbollah in Lebanon has been sending attacks from the north. This is so biblical prophecy being fulfilled. The nations who would come against Israel in the end are outlined very clearly. And we're seeing it come together. It's Ezekiel, I call it the Ezekiel 38-39 war. And you can see in the end time how these things would come together. In the last days, these nations would come against Israel. So you know what? We can either support Israel or we can turn our backs on her and support the enemies of Israel who, I hate to say it, the enemies of Israel are our enemies. It's what the ones who hate the Jews also hate Christians. It's just they have a saying, Saturday comes before Sunday. What that means is we got to get rid of Israel, and then we've got to get rid of the United States. Why? Because Muslims hate the Jewish people. And guess where the Jewish people are? The majority of them are in Israel right now, or not the majority, but the population in Israel is Jewish. I know this because if you're not Jewish, it's very hard to go there to live. They try to keep their nation as a safe haven for the Jewish people who need to go from anywhere in the world. But the other place where there are a lot of Jews and Christians too is the United States.
And we're the great Satan.
Saturday comes before Sunday. Israel is a small devil. The United States is a great Satan. You're exactly right, Roxy. And where did you learn that?
Oh, boy. Thank you, Usama.
I just want to tell you, you know, Usama isn't perfect. He doesn't know everything. But I will tell you this. He has sacrificed far more than most people would even know or would he ever care to discuss in order to reveal the truth about Islam. I'm just trying to reveal a little bit more. A little bit more from a perspective of someone who is not an expert on Islam, but I've seen the evidence of Islam's role in the end times as a enemy of God. Islam itself, I'm not talking about Muslim people. They are victims of Islam. But we are talking about Islam itself being an enemy of God. And they're, oh my gosh, we've been doing our show on Saturday, we do a show on VCY on Friday. The things that you will hear being said, we used to have recordings of imams in foreign countries talking about how they wanted to destroy all the infidels, how they wanted to, you know, all the Jews. Okay, that was going on in countries where the majority of people were Muslim and they would be wanting to establish their dominance over Israel and dominance over the Jews because they believe they have to kill all the Jews before the Lord can come back. But today, right now, in this country, imams are openly preaching about how they want the Jews killed, how the Jews are Nazis, how the Jewish people are the most evil people on the planet. Guess who else preached this stuff before our friends in these mosques? Who preached this stuff earlier on? Hitler. They're calling the Jewish people Nazis, and the irony is I've got video, we've got documentation all over the place that Hitler himself lined up and brought the Bosnian Muslims into the SS of the Nazi party to be his executioners, the secret service of the Nazi party. The worst and most ruthless of them was the SS. And those individuals were recruited, many of them, because they were Muslims. And Hitler learned that the Muslims hated the Jews. You notice how Muslims will say sometimes when they're being candid, well, Hitler was right. He just didn't do enough.
There you go.
Get a little nervous about that.
Yeah, a everybody know, if you want to hear some of this stuff from the horse of mouth, go to memory.org. It's M-E-M-R-I.org. It's the Middle Eastern Research Institute. They have clips and articles from all over the world. That's where I got the one with the Egyptian TV personality.
Right.
But they're calling, there's an Indian imam calling for all of the Muslim countries to unite and rise up against Israel now.
Mm-hmm.
All over the world they're doing this. And they're not hiding anything.
Well,
it for yourself.
Previously, there was a lot of things hidden. For one thing, because you his native tongue is Arabic, he could watch these videos and tell me what they were. And I've fallen different stuff on memory for many years. That also provided some of the video I was talking about what's being Palestinian children in their classroom. And this is 20 years ago when we started watching this stuff. So back then, even in the mosques in the United States, you would have a Arabic speaker who also spoke English, so they would have a imam who would be talking, and he would say certain things in Arabic because they didn't want English speakers to know what they were saying. So they would be talking, blah, 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 about the I guess they would refer to different groups of people. Maybe they would be talking about the British citizens, or maybe they would be talking about American citizens or the people in Germany, Spain. They would talk about this, and then they would go into Arabic, which is the words of the Quran. Often they were just saying vile things. But you would never know. But you stomach could watch it. Oh my gosh, he just did this and this and this. He's quoting these verses, which are verses that teach in the Quran the destruction of all infidels, Christians and Jews, and anyone who does not submit to Islam. Okay, and those verses they would say in Arabic, but they would never say it in English, even though they do a lot of it in English. Now they say it all in English, whatever language of that country they may be well known. That's the intention. And we were just speaking, I'll have a program on Saturday where Usama and myself and Paul will be talking about it more. We were just speaking about it, that this is a very disturbing sign that they are coming out and proclaiming this publicly. YouTube will never take their videos down, even though they're calling for the annihilation of Israel. They're calling for the annihilation of Jewish people. Hitler did the same thing, people. How is it on earth did the people in Germany let him do that? How did they ignore what he was saying? You know, I had a very good friend. She passed away a few years ago. And she grew up in Hitler's Germany, a child, her and her brother. And her brother, Hilmer von Campe, actually wrote several books. And one of his that probably is the most profound was Defeating the Totalitarian Lie. He talked about how they were led to believe things that false about the movements of the military, the army, who was attacked, who they were to believe they were attacked by Poland, so they had to invade Poland. He was in the military with the under Hitler. As a kid, he was forced into Hitler Youth. And so the fact is, she and her family under Hitler, they were led to believe certain things, or they began to hear the propaganda against the Jewish people. It went on and on and on. You know why? Because they knew better. They truly knew the Jewish people hadn't done anything. But by the time they recognized what reason these lies were being said, was because the Nazis and Hitler wanted people to believe them. They wanted to believe they were justified in what they were doing to the Jewish people. They believed it for a while, or they ignored it for a while, or they just had let it go so long that they couldn't stop it in the end. My friend told me they would go to church and they would hear the trains going by and they would hear people being shipped in these cattle cars on the trains to these camps. They were told they were work camps, but they knew that there was a reason these people were being hauled off to work camps, and they weren't work camps. They were going there to be exterminated and killed and tortured and experimented on. Hey, how do you like that? Doctors were experimenting on human beings.
Yeah.
We see a few problems with that here in America. Experimental medicine that they're telling you is safe, but by the church, because the church was by the tracks. Windows were open. They didn't have air conditioning. They would hear the people in these cars crying. And she said, and they would just play louder, sing louder when these trains would go by. Because by then, they understood what was happening. But by then, it was too late. We cannot wait until it is too late, Christians. They waited too long. The Nazis infiltrated their churches. They heard a new gospel. Do you realize Hitler had his own gospel? He rewrote Bible pages. Hey, wait a minute. I heard that AI could rewrite the Bible for us. Did you ever hear this? A guy named Noah Harari. Anyway, I got his name all turned around. Yeah, Harari. He is telling you it'd be so much better if the computer AI system rewrote the Bible. Then it would be unflawed by men's thinking. Hitler rewrote the Bible.
Oh, no, he actually made a comment in an interview recently that, you know, humans essentially are now just hackable animals.
Nice. So here's the deal, friends. What God allowed to happen with Hitler, he allowed.
He allowed it.
But I'm telling you, why would God allow this? The scripture warned about it. The Jewish people suffered persecution because of the fact that whenever the Jewish people strayed away from their faith, God, he punished them. Why? Because he punished sinners. And he could see his own people going astray, and he brought forth judgment to turn them back to him, even if it was on a deathbed.
Yeah.
He desires that no one should perish, but all come to repentance. So here's the deal. Back then, it was the Jews that were being lied about. But guess what? The Jews are being lied about again. But so are you, Christian. You are being lied about as well. When Yisam and I started doing more public media ministry, I helped him with some of his books and typed them and things. But when we got more into the internet media, we were seeing things that were very disturbing. And one of them was that there were changes happening in Washington, D.C. After 9/11, we had a report to tell us about things like jihad, about things like Muslim Islamic terrorism. After a certain president, we'll just call him B.O., came in. And I think, Roxanne, I left you both reports, the original and the revised. That 9/11 report, the 9/11 Commission report, was revised. And in it, they took out every reference to Islamic terror, the word jihad, and anything else. And then they listed the primary people that they were most concerned about becoming terrorists were Christians, white Christians.
Yeah.
Now that list says white nationalist Christians. You are listed in the terror annals of our FBI, CIA, and other services.
You are considered a terrorist group.
We are listed as the number one problem.
Domestic terror.
There are no people to come back and tell us from the time of Hitler, wow, when they were promoting all these lies about the Jews, we started believing them. So when they were rounding them up, we thought, man, they're just doing something terrible we didn't know about. But trust me, the repentance of the German people when they realized their failure, especially those who were Christians, realized their failure, realized how many Christian pastors were trying to speak out about it. Unfortunately, it wasn't as many as it should. But I have a poster for Bonhoeffer who said, you know, what is it when evil, what is it? I got to think of that. I wished I'd have had it in front of me, but I'm not where I used to have that poster. You know, but basically it's saying in a time when, you know, it's when falsehood is ruling. He said many things, but there's a famous quote, and I wish I could quote it correctly. Then to speak the truth is an act of heroism. When these evil things are going on and you do nothing, then you are partaking in helping the evil. We really need to speak out against this because it is turned on American Christians as well. So don't think it's just the Jews that are being lied about. I just think it's Israel that's being lied about. When they say Christian nationalists, American Christian nationalists, they're talking about America. They're talking about your country is evil. Number one terror to the world. People in power that give no concern at all about the welfare of this country, they are called globalists. Have any of you ever heard that in the last days there'd be a one world government? I've been hearing about that for a long time. That's because
it's all coalescing now.
Yeah, I'm saying we've been hearing about it. Well, I've been hearing about it for a long time, but the fact is we're seeing the evidence of how, you know, you would say, how would Christians, I even said, how would Christians be persecuted in America? How could that ever happen? But yeah, it's happening.
And it happened now. Hey. And I want to say real quick that quote. I had to look it up because I was going to drive me nuts. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is that
good
men should
do nothing.
Not
that's
to act.
And I have that on a poster, and I don't have my poster, Roxy. You were supposed to bring it to me. You weren't. I didn't know.
Yeah, that was something up in the living room.
But you know, that is something we can never forget. Because for those who don't believe evil is real, I used to counsel and say, you know, I'm sorry, but God allows evil because he gives men free choice. And you need to understand that if you're not following the Lord, then guess who is in control of your life? Oh, you are. No, you are not. You are under the influence of Satan himself. And you may not even know it, but your life is going to be blessed through the things that God has told us in the scripture. It's going to be blessed by your submitting your life. And I'm not talking about going out and sacrificing everything or starving to death or doing good works to try to prove that you're a Christian. No, you sacrifice your life on a daily basis where you say, Jesus, Lord, what would you have me do today? How can I live for you today? It's a daily walk. But so some days you screw up, okay? That's why Christ died, because even once you accept the Lord and you receive forgiveness for your sin, you're still going to find yourself struggling to do things that you believe and know by the word of God you should be doing. And that means we need to be in a constant state of being humble and recognizing our limits and saying, Lord, without you, I can do nothing, because that's what he said. But he also said, with me, all things are possible. Can we see America be saved? Yes, with Jesus Christ, all things are possible. Can we see the country being saved? Yes. The Bible tells us that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. I've hung on to this verse in spite of everything that's gone on, and I will tell you, it is up to the people who are called by his name. It's up to those who love the Lord. And I don't have a differentiation in that between the Jewish people and the Christian people. You are, as a Jewish person, part of the chosen people of the Lord. Israel was chosen to be blessed by God. Abraham was chosen to be blessed by God. But so also are those who are Christians, who are the seed of Abraham by faith. We are chosen to be blessed. But the fact is, it is not about being perfect. You receive God's blessing because of his love. Does he want everyone to be blessed? That's why he said you can become the seed of Abraham by faith. We are blessed as God promised those blessings. We are blessed as we bless those that God loves. And we're also blessed when we love our enemies. And how can you love your enemy? It's pretty hard. Well, one way you do that is by sharing the gospel with them, teaching them about the Lord and that the word of God can be trusted, that we are to live a life that would be pleasing to God, but that's not what saves us. It's his mercy and grace that saves us. And as we receive his love, we want to love him back. I'll tell you what lies in the textbook. It's killing our children spiritually because we're not sharing that. It's letting them think that, wow, there are a lot of religions out there. I wonder what one I want to be. Oh, there are 48 genders out there. I wonder what one I want to be. When we start,
I might not even think of being a gender. I just may want to be a cat.
Yes, I could be an animal. This is insanity. And our education system has gone down the drain, folks. When it left prayer out of school, started teaching untruths about the Bible, untruths about the gospel, untruths about Israel and the Jewish people.
Yeah, truths about Islam.
Yes, and promoting the idea that Islam is a loving, peaceful religion, and because Muhammad came after Christ. Well, of course, what he had to say is more relevant and more correct, because that other stuff is, oh, man, it goes back hundreds, thousands of years. I'm sorry,
yeah,
God hasn't
we'll
changed
see.
Anything. What's that? I'm sorry.
We'll see and learn throughout this as we listen to some of the shows that you, Selma, did, is that the Quran gives no details whatsoever. The Quran contradicts itself. The only way they could... great thinkers and imams can interpret what the Quran says is by referring to the Bible.
But they will never tell you that's where they get their information. They won't tell you because they don't want you to trust the Bible. But that's why they come up with these things. They go, oh, this was about, this was about the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were there. And let me explain it to you, like as if they're prophets. No, they're not. Right. They're just going to the Bible to get some details that the Quran left out. If anything is a corruption and changed, it is that the Quran became a corruption and change of the Bible. But the sad thing is, it's not even that good of a copy of it. Usama used to show a dollar bill or some type of bill, and he said, now, if you're going to make a candidate, okay, this is a, you want it to be the same color, okay? And you want it to be the same size. He goes, the Quran is like a counterfeit that is like this, going, oh, this is my dollar. It's real. And when it's nothing like what the Bible is. But you know what is sad? Muslim people are told that even to read the Bible or talk to a Christian is very dangerous. Quran chapter 5, verse 51 said, all you who believe, not take the Jews or Christians for friends. They're friends to one another. And whoever takes them for friends becomes of them, meaning Allah does guide the unjust people. So you don't want to have friends that are Christians or Jews, because then you'll become infidel like them. And you know, somebody says, it's true, because we will share the truth with you. And then you might become an infidel because you'll leave Islam. I know it's the worst thing in the world for a Muslim to have to contemplate leaving the beliefs that they have in Islam, because there's two things that are really hard. And I understand this because I have family members who were caught up in a cult, not Islam, but another cult. And you think about your loved ones who went before you. Oh my gosh, you mean my mom and my dad and my family were all wrong? Are they in hell? Are they, could they have gotten saved? Did they believe in all these things and they weren't true? Oh, that's a horrendous thought, because you can't do anything about that. You can't control what went on before you accepted Christ and came to the truth. So you worry about your family. The other real concern is if you leave Islam, you're taking your life in your hands, because you will be called to come back to Islam, face the idea that you will be killed because you've become an infidel. That happened in Muslim families in this country, especially for young people who are exposed to the American culture and start going the way against Islamic teaching. And they take it very seriously. We've had particularly young girls who have been murdered by their family members in honor killings. It's happened in America, friends. I can give you and cite you cases. Right now, we don't have time to do that, and that's not our purpose here. But we want you to take seriously that for a Muslim to come to Christ, it takes a great deal of courage and sacrifice. But I tell you, there are Muslims who are coming to Christ, and they are coming out and sharing their testimony. Many of them have become acquainted with Islam, and he's ministered to them so that they would come to know the truth about Islam and realize that it's false. And then the next step is always hope for them to come to Jesus Christ. And they have powerful testimonies and great deal of desire to reach other Muslims. So if you need resources to share with Muslims or contacts, you can contact the Straight Way of Grace Ministry. The straightway.org is where you can get information. If you yourself need to learn more about Islam, because I'm going to tell you, it's amazing. You cannot imagine how you may be running into Muslims. If there's nobody Muslim in your area, going to change. What do you think this mass immigration from Afghanistan? Can you imagine how many Christians you think are coming here to America from Afghanistan after we left? And then the doors flew wide open for all these Afghanistan people to come to America. They were all loaded in a plane and brought here. How many of them do you think are Christians?
None. And just to let you know and to remind you that we have many refugees coming from Gaza now.
From where?
None of the other Muslim countries will take them.
Oh, well, here's the problem. Yes. Well, we have Iranians here. We have Pakistanis here. We have many people from the Middle Eastern countries, and they come because there's been a conflict in their area. So let's say in the case of Iraq and Syria, when we had ISIS there, Christians, and there were many of them in Syria particularly, were being slaughtered by the Muslims who were taking over for ISIS. Muslims were being killed as well, but the majority of people who were fleeing for their lives were Christians and Yazidis. They are non-Muslim, another kind of a cult of a type, but they were not Muslim. And
right.
Or they were not Muslims that were acceptable in the eyes of the Syrian Muslims and the Iraqi Muslims. So
there are many different sects.
Yes, they were being slaughtered. And guess who our country threw the doors open to come here?
Not the Christians.
It was not the Christians. It were the Muslims. This happens over and over again. Even going far back to when I was working with some teenagers who had escaped from Somalia. I'm trying to remember where it was now because there's so many Muslim countries there that Christians have escaped from and come years ago to the United States. But all you would ever hear on the news was, oh, there's a civil war in this country or a civil war in that country. They would never tell you the details. What is the war about? But here would be these refugees coming to America, and many times they were Christians. But they didn't want to tell you the Muslims were slaughtering the Christians. Now the reverse is true. There's a conflict in a Muslim country. The Muslims are killing the Christians. So we bring more Muslims here. It's like the Christians can't even get permission to come to our country, and they're the ones being slaughtered. So it's just really ironic how that's been working. But watch more and more. So you got no Muslims in your neighborhood? You live in a small community? Hey, I just found out one of our friends has been talking to a Muslim that's living here now. Of course, we pray that as Muslims come to the United States, Christians will reach out to them and share the gospel with them. That is our hope. That is our hope to change things in America, that Christians reach out and reach Muslims for Christ, because this will change their life.
Yeah,
but
we have to stop worrying, are we going to offend somebody by talking on them? We're not forcing anything.
Never.
But you know what? They won't learn anything about Christ if you don't evangelize to them.
Yeah, exactly.
They know nothing about him now.
They know are false things that they learn. They learn false things because Islam teaches about Jesus. It teaches about many of the characters that you'll read about in the Bible, and therefore they try to tell you they believe in the same God. But just because they have the names popping up in there does not mean they have the story correct or even the same. They don't even know who they are. In many cases, the Quran give names that are biblical and they have absolutely no connection to what is being talked about. And people who existed thousands of years apart appear in the Quran in the same time frame. It's just really crazy.
Anyway. I think Islamist ministry is so important, especially now, because we are being flooded by Muslims.
That's right.
And they need to know the truth. They need to know that what they have learned is a lie.
Yeah.
And so there are so many resources with Usama's ministry, thestraightgrace.org.
No. thestraightway.org. But the ministry is called the Way of Grace Ministry. Yeah. And that's okay. You're just new at this. I have messed up, and I've been doing this for years, and I mess up all the time. Anyway, I think we're going to try to wrap this up because We want to close on a positive note, and that is that we are seeing, and hopefully as an answer to prayer, many believers becoming outspoken. I can just share with you, there is media out there that is primarily supported, and the people who come on and talk are Christians. Real America's Voice is one. Frank Speech is another. I want to tell you that I prefer going to those sources, and the other one is American News. Those are places where you're going to hear people tell the truth and people who love the Lord. And that division that we have among denominations, like I talked about before, is really irrelevant. It's one of the things that has kept Christians from coming together. But I'll tell you, if you come together under the love for the Lord himself, the love for this country, which God has preserved, then we're going to see the Christians come together, and we're all being slaughtered and persecuted and living in, you know, terrible times. That'll bring Christians together. But for now, I'm telling you, drop your concerns about what this denomination believes on your particular view of things like baptism and when is Jesus coming back, and are we going to have tribulation? Are we going to be persecuted? You know, guess what? You're going to find out. But if the Christians don't come together and support freedom in this country, all of that you'll find out when it's happening to you or happening to one of your family members that you love, because you didn't inform them during your lifetime. You didn't stand up for freedom in America during your lifetime. Then your family, your children, your grandchildren are going to suffer the consequence. We have to stand up for the truth now. And I just beg that you all will do that. Pray and ask God to speak to your heart, because I got too many Christians that are just on the sidelines going, well, you know, I'm just trusting God. Well, that's nice. You're trusting God. Can he trust you? Can he trust you? That, I think, is a good, we can always trust God, but the question is, can he trust you? Roxanne, am I crazy for saying that?
No, you're 100%, and I'm glad you're saying that. And I just want to thank everyone who tuned in on Blog Talk Radio. And also, we're going to have this put up on YouTube, both on the Fiverr Wise.
Because it's a video. It's a video on Fiverr Wise. Yeah.
Yes, we made it up today.
We did. It's going to be also on End Times in America YouTube channel. So that video, we're not really cool yet. We cannot actually live broadcast on YouTube yet, but this video is going to go up. And I am so thankful, Roxanne, for your help. And I am thankful that you are diligently seeking the truth, because as I said in the beginning, five are wise, but five are foolish. And if you need wisdom, don't think you know everything now. We always need to learn more, because I can tell you right now, I wish I knew everything. And someone told me, Christy, you think you know everything. But the truth is, I've never thought that. I thought I knew a lot about stuff, but I always know there's more I need to learn. So if you're going to be wise, just remember, you don't know it all right now. But if you'll keep your eye on the Lord, he will teach you. It says the Holy Spirit will teach us. Man, if you learn from the Holy Spirit, I got news for you. The Word of God with the Holy Spirit's enlightenment, you are going to know everything you need to know. And maybe you'll be one of those people that is wise enough to help others come to know the truth as well. Yep. Anything else, Roxanne?
In Hosea, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Absolutely. Hosea.
In the scripture, pray the Holy Spirit leads you to understand the scripture and share the good news with all who will listen. That's the one thing we were commanded to do.
Absolutely.
The one and only thing we were commanded to do.
The Great Commission. Yes, the Great Commission. All right. Well, Roxanne, I appreciate you being here with us. We're going to end on that positive note, that we have hope, even when others don't have hope. If You know the Lord. Other people have no hope. It says they're going to come to you and say, what's the reason for the hope in you? I can see that happening, but that's your opening. Don't say, well, you know, I've been working really hard and I saved my money. Don't tell them, oh, well, I've got a great education, so that's why I'm doing good. That, none of those things are the hope I'm looking for. They're looking for the hope in the Lord. They're looking for the hope of eternity. They're looking for a hope that will never be diminished by circumstances, whether you lose everything or you have everything, richer or poorer, whatever the situation is. The hope is always in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his salvation, which you didn't earn and I didn't earn, and we can never be good enough to deserve, but his grace is sufficient for us. Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Hey, I don't know how to stop the show. So I got to go back here and fish in here. You see, we're going to learn better as we go. Ta-da. Oh, it's right here. No, I don't want to chat with anybody. I want to stop. Wait, it says start recording. Hey, you've got to stop the recording. You're recording.
I did.
Oh, you stopped. I didn't get the notice. And I'm sitting here thinking, I started the recording. Hey, we're awesome. We did both. That's so excited. Yay. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm still on Blog Talk, so I guess I need to stop talking foolishly and let people know I'm Blog Talk. We're done. Anyway, we have had a great night, and I want everybody to know we appreciate you listening. And here's the other thing about this. This program is just getting started. We're going to have a really exciting guest come on. Maybe even you back will come on with us in person. That's so exciting. You don't get to see Mac Dog in person that much. Well, I do sometimes, but even I don't see him that much. So let's for some good Blog Talk Radio. We love you at Global Patriot Radio. We appreciate your support. Share this program with other people. We'll have the video posted before very long, and we love and appreciate all of you. And if you have questions, you can email me at one of two places, endtimesamerica@gmail.com. You can send me an email at christy.thestraightway@gmail.com. And Roxanne, where can they send a message to you?
You can send it to 5ryz@aol.com or @gmail.com.
All right. So if you have some ugly things to say or some good things to say, just send us a message and let us know. And we will be back next week with our segment on more about Islam, revealing more about Islam. And ultimately on our Friday, on Thursday, oh, this is Thursday, how we focus in on some of the ministry of Islam at Dakhdar. We will also be doing a broadcast on Sunday afternoons. We haven't actually started that yet, but Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock, we'll also be doing another broadcast. So, hey, you're going to have to get over your fear of Blog Talk Radio, because actually, this is where we're going to tell the truth. I think we have lots of problems on YouTube. Anyway, God bless you all. Good night.